All right, everybody, welcome back to another show. I'm so blessed to be back with you here at the Life School Masterclass show. I'm your host, Ilona Lapari, and I have two amazing guests here today, people that I personally have connected with and that I personally know. Definitely purpose-driven entrepreneurs doing amazing, beautiful work out there in the world. I have Jenny and Steve Erickson, and they're the CEOs and founders of Event Reptor. And today we're going to talk about how to streamline virtual events to grow your business. We all know the power of virtual and live events to be able to further connect, share our message, increase our visibility, increase our brand, but also most importantly, to increase our impact. So I'll start with you, Steve, if you can maybe just jump right into today's topic and then have Jenny maybe kind of chime in as we have a conversation around how do we streamline virtual events? What do we need to know around that? So how do we start then implementing those into our day-to-day business operations to grow our brand?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for having us here on your show. So streamlining virtual events is really about understanding your market, what you're selling, who you're selling to, and then making sure that you have a very, very good fit, really niched on what you're offering. It's very true in marketing that if you're not aiming at the right people with your offer at the right time, then you're not going to get the results. So for us, streamlining your events always starts with defining who's your audience and what is it you're selling to them? Do they actually want it? Are they going through the pains that you are solving with that? And then it's the management of that afterwards. So that's where our systems Event Reptor comes into actually streamlining a lot of that. But it starts with that initial focus on your offer and who you're going to sell them to.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we both say, start with the end in mind. What is it you're wanting to achieve? And the specificity is everything. You know, we're very privileged to have lots of speakers in our community, but we very much say to people, you know, apply for what is appropriate for you, what is not just your wheelhouse of expertise, but also being part of an event that really has your intended and your target audience. So not just speak at any event, but really, really structure and think about where it is you speak and where you can serve people and where people will get the best from you.
Yeah, I agree with both you, Stephen and Jenny, because it's very important to be really aligned with the right audience and understanding who are the people that you want to serve, because it's very easy to kind of just get distracted and go to speak places. And that's great at the beginning. But if you become more of a seasoned, more intentional, more strategic with the work you do, the offers you have, and the way that you want to also get ROI for your time back, because I think that's another very important piece that, you know, most of us don't kind of think about things that way. We always think about the return on our investment as far as money time, but also our time back into really landing or creating events in our spaces to elevate our brand. It's really important as well to be very intentional with the right type of events that we attend. And also if that's the right audience that obviously we can further connect with or, you know, have a clear purpose around it as well. So at Event Reptor, what are some of the pieces of the process that you have created so that you can make this an easy system or process for somebody that wants to maybe start virtual events? Or first of all, the mission of Event Reptor, is it, do you guys help people create events or do you help them once they have an event, streamline the process of how to fill the events, how to run the events and all those steps to be able to create a successful one?
Yeah, so the mission of the company is really to make it easy for anybody to run their own event. If they want our help in running it as well, then we're absolutely happy to do that. But we're really about empowering coaches, solopreneurs, you know, practitioners, therapists to run their own virtual events, whether that is a virtual summit or a webinar. And there are two aspects of the system. One is that it needs to be easy for the host to actually create and run their own events. And the other aspect is that it needs to be easy for people to get into that event. To give an example, this is a little while ago, no, a few months ago, where Jenny was going into an event with one of our competitors, a very big name in the business. And they sent out the link an hour before. So this was the system, sent out the link an hour before. That was in an email with a PDF, and in the PDF was a broken Zoom link. So the host of the event, who had like, I think, 50 people signed up, it was only Jenny and the event host who turned up, because nobody else could get into the event. And the only reason Jenny got into the event was that I knew how to take that link, make it a whole one that would actually work to get into the event. So, you know, with our system, we make it very easy for people to get into the event. In the last 2.5 years, we've only heard one person who said, I could not get into the event. And that was somebody who had not installed Zoom. I don't know how you went through the pandemic and not installed Zoom, but yes, fair enough, you didn't get into the event. But apart from that, people are actually able to join. And that's really, really for you as a host. And then it's the secondary aspect of making it easy. So we created a system around a specific avatar, a specific user. And that was a lady we were working with who was 70 years old, had used computers for 2 or 3 years. And she was basically wanting to share some of her wisdom. And she was able to put on a summit with 12 speakers and do all of the management of that through our system and without virtually any help at all. So that's the kind of thing that we're aiming for.
Yeah, and as Steve is actually saying, you know, in a technological age where we're very blessed to be able to connect with people all over the world, so people's attention span, if you like, is, you know, is shorter than ever. So we want to make it easy for people to be able to be part of events, whether that's registering or entering the event or being a speaker too. And even today, I was due to go to an event and I had to register, and it was supposed to send me through to a link to an email. I never got to go to the meeting. You know, I tried every which way to get through, not one of our meetings. Somebody has said I would turn up to their networking event. So I don't know. I mean, until I hear back from this person, I don't know why that didn't work. But there's only so much you can do to try and get somewhere, and people just will give up. So you never want there to be a barrier to people joining and being part of your event.
No, absolutely. You are touching on a very important point, because I think the biggest challenge with running events is getting the right people in the room, right? So getting people to come to the event, and I think that's the biggest pain point. Whether it's a virtual event, obviously it's a little bit easier, but if it's a live event, that's a whole other thing. So I would love to ask you around the experience for both, but before I go there, I want to ask you around your experience around setting up events. How does your system help people streamline the events and also increase the participation rates, besides obviously also the process of utilizing the platform that you have created to be able to remind people and actually get these events on people's calendars? Because I think that's another thing. If it's not on our calendar, we don't know that it's there, and we don't even know how to show up. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, so the number one thing that, and this is what we started out by saying, the number one thing of getting people to turn up is to be very clear in the value proposition. What is it they're going to get out of coming to your event? And when it comes to something like a virtual summit, for instance, you know, you have to manage all of the speakers, you have to create that agenda. But one of the things that we do very effectively, when we are managing an event for anybody, and you can do it yourself in the system, you know, we send out the email 24 hours before, we send it out an hour before to remind them to come. And then we send out an email 10 minutes before each session. And we have AI helping us to actually take the bio, take the presentation, rewrite it so it's digestible in a short email, and send it out 10 minutes before to remind people, here's the next speaker. We have a number of people who absolutely love that, because they'll come in for certain speakers and then they forget, you know, to turn up at the right time. And with that email, they get reminded and they come. So we did an event just last month, and we had, what was the maximum number of people we had, Jen?
Oh, gosh, you mean on your stage?
Yes.
Yes, but on your stage, we had 115 people in the room.
115 people in the room at the most. And then at the lowest, we had about high 50s, wasn't it? Mid 50s. Yeah, mid 50s or something. But we averaged around like 70, 80 people in the room most of the time through a 2-day event. And it is because that audience promise is good. What we're delivering is a very good match. And we're doing the constant reminders to people to attend.
Yeah.
And also with our events, we offer a VIP upgrade. So we say to people, because often people can't necessarily stay for a whole event. And so as Steve was saying, you know, people can dip in and out, especially for their favorite speakers. But if they want the whole thing, then we offer a VIP upgrade, so people get recordings of all of the speakers. And even if somebody can't join us for the whole time, a lot of people like to have the recordings because they're listening in real time, but actually want to go back and listen at their leisure and stop and start a little bit. Because for our events, we've had some amazing speakers who just impart such amazing nuggets of wisdom that it's like you want to listen again and again and be able to implement the wonderful things that that they've told us about. So,
yeah, being able to repurpose is absolutely a lifesaver, even though I do feel that because of all the distraction, it's always best to kind of, you know, show up and leverage the time because you kind of get those aha moments real time. At least it's been my experience. That's the value of the energy of being in the right rooms and with the right people. You always walk away with so much wisdom and expertise. And also, you tend to problem solve, right? Because we always have certain gaps that we're trying to fill wherever we are in the journey. So, you know, you could find the next person that probably could be somebody that could support you in a certain area. So that's absolutely, I love events, anything, you know, where we're uniting, getting people together for a common cause. I love that you said the purpose has to be clear and the ROI and the value proposition, because, you know, people have to make a quick decision around, should I spend my 1 hour here or should I spend my 1 hour there? So being clear around that, I think it's really important as well. Do you have any best practices for people that want to also grow their live events based on your experiences?
So by live event, you mean in-person events, yeah?
In-person events, yes.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It comes down to the basic marketing and basic, you know, practices of what you're doing. Make sure that you know what the audience promise is going to be. Make sure you're communicating it. Make sure you're attracting the right people, the people who want to be in the room. Because honestly, especially when you're coming from Europe like we're doing, but also when you're coming from the US, you need to spend a lot of money on hotels and food and all of that. It costs us like $1,000 extra just in flights. Often compared to people in the US. So it's an investment to go to a live event, not just the ticket price, but also everything around it. And why would you want to go to an event if you don't think you're going to get value out of it? So it really is about being crystal clear on that value and value proposition. What are you going to walk away with afterwards, after you come to the event? How is it going to change your life? How is it going to transform your life? Because if you can't transform their life, why would they want to go?
Yeah, absolutely. And doing your homework on figuring out where are the right events. And also, if you are the host, ensure that event is jam-packed. Jenny, you had something else to add?
Yeah, I was just going to say that it ties back to what Steve was saying earlier, that when you have speakers and you know what people are speaking about, you have an audience that is not only happy to be there, but also engaged. So for us, not only do we have wonderful speakers, but with an engaged audience, they ask those great questions. And speakers love those great questions. So it's like a double bubble, if you like, because you not only get a great speaker, but then, you know, thoughtful questions from attendees too. So there's that extra something. You know, we run our event called Own Your Stage. We've run it 5 times so far. So that's the event Steve was speaking about. So in that time, we've had amazing speakers. We've had people that have come to every single event that we've run it. But the specificity is there. It is a very specific event. It's about how to be visible in your business, how to incorporate speaking into your business, whether you want to do a TEDx talk or sell from the stage or tell your hero's journey. And we often find that so many of our speakers get approached afterwards by attendees who want to know, where are you going to speak next? What does it look like to work with you? So there is that continued relationship, so much so that we have speakers saying, you know, if you want me again, I would love to do this again. It was fun. It was great. The audience was great. So, you know, always looking for that good fit. And that's what we would advise anybody and also our clients to do. To even if it's better to have 20 engaged people than have 100 people where it's not really, you know, what they're seeking in terms of, you know, hearing a speaker. So that's always better.
I love it. I mean, I've I've also intuitively felt that speaking is a new visibility, because now that we get to create content, especially with the support of AI, you know, is that there's also a lot of saturation around, you know, your message being lost and you not, you know, having to stand out from the crowd based on the work that you do. When you speak, you get to connect. You get to share what you do. You get to add value. People see, feel, hear your energy. And it's a whole different ball game when it comes to visibility. So, yeah, absolutely. I love what you both shared on that aspect as well. I know another pain point with events is marketing, getting the right people in the room. What are your thoughts on that? Is there like a solution to that that you have created on Event Raptor? Or if not, what are some best practices that we could share for people to, once they have that clarity based on what we spoke about around the agenda of the event, the right people that they want in the room, or will receive the most value, where can we find them? How we
you were saying that at the end. Where do you find them? And
where can we find them so we can bring them in the right rooms?
Yes, exactly. So, first of all, it depends what kind of event you're doing. So you have this standard 3-day type live event where you're bringing people in the room because you want to sell, and then you don't have a set of speakers who would be promoting. And the only way of doing that is promoting hard to your list. Make sure that you have affiliates who are promoting you, and doing paid advertising. That is the main ways of actually filling that room. I mean, there's some other things you can do as well, like building up a Facebook group over time that you're inviting, etc. But it's a hard job to actually fill the room. It takes quite a lot of marketing. When it comes to virtual events, it's easier. But again, if you're having you're running your webinars or masterclasses, you rely on the affiliates and your own ability to actually connect with people. So building your list. We always say, you got to build your list. We say that typically social media, you have to have 20 times as many people on social media as on your email list for it to be an equivalent. So if you have 1,000 people on your email list, it's the same as having 20,000 followers on social media. And the reason being is Facebook and Meta and TikTok and all of these companies, they're the ones who control your access to the audience. They're the ones who decide whether your video, your promotion is going to be showing up or not. So it's not in your control. So therefore, you have to have your own email list. And that's when you're marketing to your own email list, like if you market to them 2 or 3 times, your show up rate is going to be much better than if you rely just on social media. But the key thing really is with virtual summits, when you have speakers who are coming in and speaking, what we say is always that the speakers must pay to be on your stage, because you're taking time and effort to create the stages. You're making sure that it's full of the ideal audience of yourself and of your speakers. And, you know, this takes time to coordinate. It takes effort. Even if you're using our system, it still takes time and effort. And if you want to be on my stage as a speaker, the way you pay me, the way I prefer that you pay me, is not by dollar amounts. It's by promoting the event and getting people to register. So we typically say, if you want to speak on our stage, you should be aiming at getting at least 25 people to register for the event. It's our task to make them turn up. So, but if you can get 25 people to register, then we're pretty happy. If you get 3 people to register, we might want to charge you a fee, because you're standing on the stage, we're giving you access. You know, as I said, we had like 50 to 115 people in the room, and you can speak to them. So we can put you in front of that kind of audience, and you got 3 people, and then expecting to turn up for free, you know. So the exchange has to be there. It's also the value that you bring into the audience and having that right mix. So when all of that comes together, when you're getting your marketing right, when you're getting the speakers are promoting and they're doing what they're supposed to be saying, they're supposed to be promoting, then you get that right mix. You can easily add 500,000, 1,500 people to your mailing list. You can put 50, 100, 150 people in the room and have that connection, build that know, love, and trust, and really build on that to sell your own services, to deliver more value to your audience as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and as Steve says, the mailing list is super important. We have a Facebook group of 11,000 members, which is great. So we get to tell them about all the things that are happening. And we've really worked hard over the last 3 years to create a community through our networking meeting, through the Facebook group. And, you know, as Steve says, on a whim, social media can change in a heartbeat. There's been plenty of people that have lost active, engaged Facebook groups because something happens. So, you know, to rely on that would be foolish. So our mailing list is super important. But I certainly reach out to people. We have another Facebook group too. So we have 11,000 and nearly 4,000 in a group. I reach out to people too. I'm part of other people's communities, and I'm always respectful of what I can and can't say, because, you know, we very much believe in community over competition and how we help and support each other. So, you know, a few ways there that people come into our ecosystem and are a part of the Event Raptor family, if you like. We've had people with us since day one that, you know, we love to have supporting us, and who we also love to support in return.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I'm all about community myself, and I know how much hard work it goes into actually building a community. So I love that you're able to share, you know, the ecosystem of what is it that we can do to work smart and not hard, and also own the traffic, own the relationships, because that's what it is at the end of the day. However marketing wants to call people, it's all about relationships. So having another way to add value in all the other forms of, or channels, so to speak, or of marketing, for sure. And I've been in your events, and I definitely get the feel of the community. They're very well structured, but also it's I really feel like in those rooms, people really feel seen and heard, which I think is a really important piece in any event, right? Because we want to make sure that the people there are feeling safe, and they're feeling, you know, like they can make the right connections. Because in the marketing world, or maybe in the virtual world, it's very easy to go into transaction relationships with all the different ways that we get to show up. But you could feel the difference when there's something else, you know, around the values of that specific community, and the right people will feel aligned with that community and be a loyal fan, as we always say in business. So I love how, you know, all of that has absolutely connected for both of you as well, with the amazing work that you're doing out there in the world. Jenny and Steve, I have a question for how do you, I know you both work together, and I've always been curious around couples that are able to build a business together. How did you, first of all, get into this work? And also, how is it working together as life partners?
So I was working with a company in the US for 6 years. I was the chief technology officer, and I saw the power of speaking from stage. This company generated millions of dollars by being on stage, but I wanted to have more impact. So I started in the beginning of the pandemic on 6th of July, 2020. To set up my own coaching business, where I wanted to teach people how to do client attraction, what I call client attraction 2.0, doing it the right way to truly attract their clients. And after 8 weeks of being in this new business, I ran my first summit with the support of Jenny and our son Jake. And it was a great success, but I only had a $497 program to sell, nothing else. So when we were delivering that $497 to the people who signed up at the summit, it was only 4 people who signed up for the program. I started creating a group coaching program, and we created our next summit. Same summit we ran again, but first time we had 27 speakers, 4 days. Second time we had 37 speakers, and we did it for 5 days. And between the two summits, we generated $40,000 in sales, over $40,000. And I said, this is what everybody needs to do. Everybody needs to have their own summit. Everybody needs to do it. But none of my people, and none of the people who bought into my group coaching program, none of the other people I know here are able to do it. It's too technical. They need to have too much help. It's going to cost them $10,000 at least to do this with other people who's going to help them. And that's how we just set up Event Raptor. We sat down together and we had a conversation around late January or early February of 2021. We just had a conversation. What if we take our most non-technical user and create the system, group coaching client, and create a system where she could run a summit on her own. And that's how we created Event Raptor and the whole concept and the idea. And in terms of working together, it's an absolute delight and pleasure to work together.
we've been together a very, very, very long time. So we've been married 31 years. And actually, we're both very similar in as much as we're both introverts. But I think we know how to play to our strengths. So, for example, I'm a situational extrovert, so I'm more the people person that goes out and talks to people, and you know, Steve is the tech guy. So I think the thing is actually just playing to our strengths, really. And I think that applies to our life as much as our business. You know, a gazillion years ago when we both lived in England, we had a community magazine. And again, it came from the same place. We worked on creating something for clients, for people in the local community. We wrote the adverts, we looked at businesses and created something that actually worked and made people busy. I mean, they people were super successful. So much so, actually, I was saying to somebody today that we had advertisers that were completely maxed out. They were little businesses, and what we had created had changed their business. But we literally worked on that together. We created the adverts together. We walked the magazines around to 9,000 households together. So we know, we play to our strengths, and we know how to help and support each other. And so it's never a dull moment, and actually very few crosswords, because we literally sing from the same song sheet.
Yeah, no, I would add in there that with Jenny and I, definitely it's the opposites attract. You know, she has so many strengths in so many areas where I am totally weak. And then I have the other areas that Jenny don't have. That's where I'm strong. So I'm very strong on logic. Jenny's very strong on emotion and feeling. And together, and then, so she has the connection with people. When I was doing my first summit, I was like, literally, thank you very much for that speaker. Here's the next speaker. And after like 2 days, I went like, should I probably introduce myself and say who I am? You know, I was sitting there with sweaty armpits and just going like, I've been on camera, oh, 45 minutes until I need to go back on camera kind of thing. Whilst Jenny is like sitting there going, yeah, this, I can handle this. I can be on camera. You know, she's a performer. She's helped with, she has helped a lot with kids in the performing arts and things like that. So really it's about finding out what are you good at? What is your partner good at? And focusing on those areas and really working it out between you, who's responsible for what. And then when there is conflict, when there is something to resolve, having a procedure, a way of actually resolving it without going into an argument about it. That's the key thing, I think.
For us, that usually involves ice cream, actually. That's what we call a board meeting. So if we have to have an Ericsson board meeting, it normally means we nip out and go and have an ice cream and put the world to rights. And there's plenty of pictures that I can show you to prove that that's true. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's beautiful to hear. And kind of on the other side, what comes through is the team aspect, right? Working and playing on your strengths and complementing each other's opportunities or weaknesses and strengths, right? That's really what a team is all about. And knowing yourselves, I think that's another powerful thing, because the more you know about yourself and where you are uniquely positioned to stay, the more you know who to how to complement one another. And then I'm sure also extend with team and all the other people that are supporting you behind the scenes as well. Well, I want to thank you both for an amazing wisdom and expertise around this very important topic, but also for all the work that you're doing out there in the world. I'm also part of your community, and I always see all the amazing things that you're all doing. I would love to kind of wrap up today's interview with kind of sort of a final message from both of you that you'd like to share with our audience today of seasoned entrepreneurs, and also where is it that the audience can further connect with you?
Sure.
Jenny, if you want to go first on that.
I can go first. Oh, there's so much I could say. You know, as mentioned before, community over competition. As a global community, we're stronger when we work together. It's important to trust the process that there is enough for all of us. So when people get very guarded about things, we like to extend ourselves, and we like to connect with people, because if we all work together for the greater good, then it just makes the world go around in a better place. It's a very simple philosophy, but we don't come with any agenda other than to see how we can be a good conduit, a good connector to help people make those great connections. And if we've played some small part in doing that, and I believe we have somewhat, then that's, you know, that's it's a very simple thing, but that's what really floats our boat. But yeah, over to you, Steve, for a...
Yeah. Well, my advice is that Susan Jeffers wrote the book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And that's been my philosophy for quite a long time, really, is that don't let fear stop you. One of the biggest things, reasons why I can't do a virtual summit by people is I've only been in business for 2 or 3 years. You know, I can't run a summit yet. I run a summit after 8 weeks. And as Jenny will tell you, I used to have to do a 4-minute presentation to the company I was working for, and I used to print it out and tape it to the side of my monitor and have it on Word. And if Word failed to scroll, if the screen froze, then I had the printout that I could read, because I was terrified of being on camera.
And the mind map as well. There was a mind map there as well.
Yes, so that could guide me through the whole thing. And I still did a summit after 8 weeks in business, because I knew I had to do it, and I knew I had to put myself in the position where I was fully committed, that I could not pull back, but I had to go through it. And so my really big advice to everybody is that don't let things stop you. Don't let your own fear, your own thoughts, your own lack of belief in what you're doing stop you. Just go for it. The worst thing that you can happen is that you need to say afterwards, well, that was a learning lesson. I won't be doing that again. Or that was a learning lesson. I know how to do it better next time. Because that's what we do. If we fail fast and we just keep going and learning all the way, then eventually you're going to find something that's working for you, that's generating money for you, more money possibly than you ever thought you would be able to make when you started out. And that's what we really recommend, is just go out and just do it.
But also, you can start small. Start small, go to a networking meeting, speak for a minute. Go to one where you can speak for 2 and 5. And somebody says, can you do the 10-minute presentation? If you don't feel that you can be a speaker at an event, go on a podcast or go on something awesome like this and interact with somebody who's interviewing you. So the momentum is everything. So you don't have to start being a big consummate speaker. You can just start and celebrate the small stuff and get to know more people and gaining confidence. That's important.
I should add there that when I did my first summit, I had 27 speakers. When you do your first summit, you can have 4 speakers. You can do a summit with 4 speakers.
Sorry. Some will freak you out. But I love the message that you both shared around, you know, just baby steps towards anything. You're reminding me, Steve, of me putting a picture together and transcribing my whole first virtual live. Because it was just freaking horrible and just like something that just freaked me out. So we got to begin somewhere, right? Take that next step. But I always, what has helped me is really connecting it to the service, to the bigger purpose of why we do what we do. So as long as you kind of disconnect yourself from the process and think about the right person that needs to hear that at that moment, then we'll figure out ways to kind of overcome some of the fear that we might be experiencing. And just like anything, if you just want to become a better speaker, just speak more, right? Just go to smaller audiences, speak on your lives, start to put something out there, and then eventually your message gets more clear. Honestly, I haven't seen anything work for my message rather than me speaking about things, because then I'm clarifying and connecting my own dots as far as to my own brand and the authentic way that I do things. So why do I think certain things about certain things and share my life experience from being authentic? And I've seen that that's actually been the biggest brand builder and business builder for myself as well. So I want to thank you both for being part of our podcast interview today. It was kind of like I was very grateful to have both of you here, because I've been, you know, surrounded by all the amazing work that you do. So I definitely would encourage everyone to go and check out your website and all the amazing things that you're doing there, especially for those of you that are more seasoned and are looking to scale your event planning or operational activities in your business so that you can reach more people or have a clear purpose around some of the things that you're looking to do to scale your business model, because events could be a great way for us to be able to do so. Thank you so much again, Jenny and Steve, and I want to thank you for watching. Don't forget to review, subscribe, and share the show today so that more purpose-driven entrepreneurs can absolutely hear this message today. And we also have a few more sponsor spots available, so reach out if you are looking for more details around that. Thank you so much for watching, and I'll see you next time with another amazing show and interview. Bye, everybody. Are you looking for paid TEDx, podcast, and free visibility speaking opportunities with other like-minded audiences to put on your calendar? Speaking is one of those daily operational activities in our service-based businesses so that we can expose the visibility that we have, but also share our message and share our work with new audiences every day. Inside our C-suite, Community Expert Program here at the Life School, we have made this very, very simple for you. It's a plug and play system. You just fill out forms and also place speaking opportunities onto your calendar without any overwhelm. We will strategically introduce you to high-level quality connections that will move your mission and vision further faster. And also, you'll get to participate in our own speaking events, magazine, and podcast opportunities that we have here at the Life School with an audience and community of over 30,000 seasoned CEOs. For more information, I would love to invite you to go check out our website at alonaleparicoaching.com/C-suite program. See you back.